Welcome to this introduction to the New Vic Theatre's latest production, The Haunting. I'm Pam Beach, and I'll be audio describing the show, along with Brenda Hennessy, on Saturday the 15th of June at 2:15pm. The touch tour will start at 1:15. We'll meet you in the foyer in front of the box office a few minutes beforehand. The first half of the show lasts 50 minutes and the second half 40 minutes. There'll be a 20-minute interval. The Haunting by Hugh James is adapted from ghost stories by one of Britain's most loved authors, Charles Dickens. This production is directed by Eleanor Taylor. The play, with just three actors, combines all the essential hallmarks of a great Victorian ghost story with a terrifying mystery and a thrilling end. In case you haven't visited this theatre before, I'll now tell you about the auditorium where the play is performed before I describe the set. The New Vic is a theatre in the round, so the audience surrounds a circular stage. Tiered purple upholstered seats rise all around the flat circular stage, which is approximately 10 metres in diameter. Three evenly spaced entrances lead up onto the stage. Two are used by actors and audiences, and the third, slightly larger main entrance, is used only by actors. Thinking of a clock face, if the main entrance is at 12 o'clock, the other two entrances are at 4 and 8 o'clock. During the audio description, we'll name the 4 o'clock entrance the right entrance and the 8 o'clock entrance the left entrance. By the main entrance at 1 o'clock and by the left entrance at 9 o'clock, there is a section of acting space we call a notch. Behind the audience seating is a circular pathway known as the promenade. Five sets of aisle steps lead down from it to the stage. The aisles and promenade are used by both audience and actors. In the aisles at the end of each row of seats, there are small handrails to assist ascent and descent. Perched above the promenade is a balcony, edged with a safety barrier and housing two rows of seats. Fixed high above the stage is a large lighting rig complete with walkways, known as the grid. Props may be stowed or suspended from here. For this show, the front row of seats has been removed and aisles are not used by actors. As you enter the auditorium, it's quite dark. There's not a lot of light, and you'll hear eerie sounds. The stage is set with the location for the whole of the play, the study of an ancient manor house on a lonely moor, belonging to the late owner, Lord Grey. The study takes up almost the entire stage, leaving a space little wider than a metre between the study and audience seating. This surrounding area is covered in black carpet that also extends into the left and right entrances. Mist swirls outside the study. As the wind howls outside, a young book dealer, David Fylde, sits on a wooden armchair in the centre of the gloomy study. With the light of just one candle in a holder on the chair arm, he's making notes in a book with a silver pencil. A cream dust sheet is tucked over the other arm of the chair. His brown leather satchel lies on the floor by the chair. When the show is about to open, he blows out the candle, covers himself over with the sheet, and sleeps. The dim light fades to blackout. The story unfolds over a few days. Scene one takes place at night, scene two the next morning, and the last scene of Act One, that evening. After the interval, it will be the next day, concluding with That Night. The colour palette for this play is definitely shades of grey. Grey stone paving slabs cover the study floor. David Fylde initially sits in Lord Grey's favourite chair. On its own in the centre of the room, it's an old carved antique armchair with a worn padded seat. Two rows of drab fringing are fixed round the bottom of the seat. Old books of varying sizes fill the room's dusty shelves, some at floor level. I'll now describe the features of the study, taking you around clockwise from the main entrance at 12 o'clock. Here the stone floor extends with a step up to a large light grey door, surrounded by an elaborate architrave that fills this entrance. Beyond, above it, is a barrier behind which the thin, pale, straight, bare branches of the top of a tree can be seen in moonlight. Between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock is a low angular section of the study's stone wall below diamond-shaped leaded windows. This provides a window seat in the corner of the study on which there are a few cushions. At 3 o'clock, there's a stone wall plinth about a metre and a half tall. In front of it, a three-legged stool covered in a dust sheet stands beside a tea chest. Between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock, taking up almost a quarter of the study and forming another corner, is a raised area where much of the cataloguing of Lord Grey's books is carried out by Mr. Fylde. The lower parts of more leaded windows are in the stone walls, and books, journals and papers sit on shelves. The high shelf is a good height for Mr. Fylde to stand working on it, facing into the room. There's a chessboard by the two steps into this area at 6 o'clock. In a couple of places by the outside of the study, a few pale grey-looking ferns grow close to the stone wall. On the corner of the study, in front of the left entrance, are two identical metre-tall square pedestals with a rose motif in the middle of each side. An unlit frosted glass mantel lamp sits on top of each pedestal. Set apart, they mark the way leading out to an antechamber. At 9 o'clock, there's an old wooden prayer stool with a kneeling cushion on the large square base and a Bible on the ledge. At 10 o'clock, there's a wide stone fireplace. Three long logs lie amongst some ash in the hearth. On the right of it is a coal scuttle, a box of matches, and a black companion set of fire irons. On the left, some A4-sized sheets of paper are strewn on the stonework. In front of these, short logs are stacked. At 11 o'clock, a wooden crate of books is beside a square revolving bookcase about a metre tall, an unlit lantern on top of it. Lastly, an ornate two-tiered brass chandelier hangs high above the study. Hardly noticed for much of the show, except when it's lit or moves, it has 8 candles on the lower tier and 4 on the upper. When the second half of the show starts, it's the next day, and there's evidence that the cataloguing work has progressed. Ledgers are open, books piled in different places, and documents strewn on shelves and the floor. Lord Grey's chair, no longer in the centre of the study, is beside the tea chest covered in a dust sheet. Props used in the play include a silver crucifix and chain, a polished wooden box containing small items, a bottle of port wine, cut glass tumblers, and a wooden tray with 2 china cups and saucers, a silver teapot, and a cheese board with cheese and a bread roll. A few letters are also produced in envelopes. Although overall the set is quite dark, there are variations in light according to the scene and happenings, including multiple flashes of light and a projection across the floor of light on limbs of the tree. The fact that an illusion consultant was involved in the show's preparation means you can expect surprising things to happen. Acoustic sounds come from all directions, including bangs. Atmospheric mist swirls at times, and in one scene you may actually smell the frankincense and cinnamon. Be prepared for anything to happen. Brenda will now tell you about the three characters and the clothes they wear.
The director, Eleanor Taylor, tells us the characters of David Field and Lord Grey offer us opposing opinions on what might lie behind the supernatural occurrences the two men are experiencing. Either a passion to explore the supernatural or devotion to science, truth and the facts. David Field is an eager and earnest young book dealer arriving at the estate to catalogue the late Lord Grey's book collection ahead of its sale. He has a love of books. He's in his mid-twenties. He's tall and slim with a round face and pale complexion. He has short, dark brown, wavy hair and blue eyes. He wears a black velvet tailcoat with black satin trim over a black satin waistcoat, white shirt and black cravat, teamed with black trousers and black laced boots. He keeps a notebook, ledger and other documents in a brown leather satchel carried over his right shoulder. When handling books, he wears white gloves. David Field is played by Richard Leeming. Lord Grey is aloof and tetchy. He's rather dour as he's unhappy to have left India to return to his late father's ancient manor house. He has an air of the different and exotic. He wants money for books he's inherited, but never reads. He's in his 40s. He's 5'7" and of medium build. His chiselled face sports a full beard and moustache. He has long, greying brown hair, held in a single plait at the back and secured with a neat bow. He wears a knee-length, double-breasted, mushroom-coloured frock coat over a waistcoat tailored in an Indian-inspired brown and gold pattern fabric, embellished with a gold pocket watch and sovereign coin held on a gold chain, a white shirt and green pattern cravat, teamed with mushroom-coloured woolen check trousers and black shoes. Later, he wears a maroon velvet smoking jacket with black velvet shawl collar, frogging and cuffs. Lord Grey is played by David Armad. Mary is the young female ghost. She's 18 years old. Her complexion is made up as a shimmering glow to convey she is a ghost. Her long golden blonde hair is parted in the middle and swept up in a bun, with ringlets falling loosely at the sides of her head. She walks slowly around the space as if gliding or floating. She wears a full-length white bridal gown and a veil held with the tiara. The veil falls to the knee. The gown has short puff sleeves and is gathered under the bust. The skirt falls from under the bust and is pleated at the back. But this dress and veil's once pristine, translucent layers are ripped, ragged and aged to portray shredded, pitiful rags. Her pale arms are swathed in once white long-necked gloves, her feet in white stockings and white flat shoes. A precious cross and chain adorn her neck. Mary is played by Jessica Hole. And Jonathan Markwood is the voice of the late Lord Grey. Please listen on for the credits. Director Eleanor Taylor, designer Michael Holt, illusion consultant Dr. Will Houston, lighting and projection designer Daniela Beattie, and the sound designer is Jamie Liu.